podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low. Great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davison Sanchez, Lucas Moura, and belted into the net. Brilliant goal. On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot. Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional. Lamella will try and place it. Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason. Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward. Oh, wow, what a run! Heung-min Son from inside his own half has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career.
Will it do? Will it do? Will it do? Will it do? We're back for another week, another episode of the New Spurs Order. As ever, follow us on socials, hit us up, make sure you are locked in, share, subscribe, tell your auntie that there are some decent folk out here talking about the beloved Spurs. As ever, as it is the start, we have a special guest on today. I will introduce him in a moment, but I'm going to start with the regular cast members. I have a trio here. A fearsome fun three. I think it might be even Kudu, Son, Kane levels. I'm going to start with the man who I haven't actually spoken to on the stream for a very long time, but he's been putting in work behind the scenes. Ahio, how you doing, brother? Macho man.
I'm good, man. Good to be back. It's funny enough, I love listening to the pod when I'm not here because I just catch Tutu Stray here and there, being a Liverpool resident myself. No, it's good to be back, man. Great to have Jacob on, you know, but adding a sprinkle of, you know, seasoning some professionalism onto the pod today, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, looking forward to tonight.
That's good. I don't know what strays you're referring to. Just for the record, if anyone has listened to the past 2 weeks of the pod and we've mentioned Ohio slipping into DMs, if he does slip into your DMs and says something about coming on the pod, he does actually mean to jump on the pod. Anyway, I'm going to go to the next person. Yao, Scott Hall, my man, my striker. How you doing, brother?
I'm here, innit? You know, certain man said they've been catching strays. I don't deliver strays. I deliver straight shots, bro. Yeah, so Jacob knows what time it is. He knows he's going to be here for some fun. Obviously, macho man slipping into DMs, not the first time. Listen, yeah, lads, I'm ready. The Premier League is literally, 24 hours away? I'm excited.
Yeah. Hopefully by this time tomorrow, Arsenal will be in the mud. But anyway, and the last member of the Tops, talk to us.
What's going on? How's it going, Dave?
Yeah, man, all good. good to see you, brother.
Yeah, always good, man.
You're here, man.
Yeah, nice to be on. Happy to be with Ohio as well. It's been a minute since he's slipped into my DMs with something interesting, but we can go into that a little later anyway. But otherwise, I'm good. Happy that the Premier League is back. I'm looking forward to Saturday's game. Looking forward to being there as well. So
That's good. Just a comment from our American brother, Asa. Ohio, can you slip into my DMs? Ohio, you're in much demand, but I'm sure you knew that already. and to introduce our illustrious guest on the show, a Saints fan, Southampton fan, I'm sure he'll tell us why, whether it's by birth, by force, or by choice, we'll see. But we have Jacob Tanswell from The Athletic. From The Athletic, this is going to be as serious as we can and as professional as we can be. Jacob, introduce yourself, maybe tell us a bit about your journey with your beloved Saints.
Yeah, so it definitely wasn't through choice. It's because I'm from Southampton and, yeah, grown up supporting Southampton. I used to play for Bournemouth down the road, got released at 16, decided to be a writer instead because I was better talking about it than playing it. And then I covered Southampton briefly a couple of years ago, moved back to Bournemouth again to write about Bournemouth. And then this season, Dan Sheldon from The Athletic moved to Manchester and I replaced him covering my club, current Southampton, for The Athletic.
Boom, boom. So we, like I said, guys, levels have been set. Jacob, it is great to have you on. And we are going to get into a lot of convo about Southampton in a moment. But first, we're going to start with a few points from the week. So Jacob, please indulge us, sit tight. And as we just kind of touch on a few things from the Spurs week so far. We've been linked with players going in, coming in, sorry, coming into the club, leaving the club, you know, whole rumour. I think everyone knows it's the start of the Premier League. And so therefore there was a lot of chat about you know, how players are, you know, that we're linked with. Ohio, I'm gonna come to you on this one. We've been linked with an exciting left wing back from Italy. Obviously Paratici shops in Italy, as we all know. What's your thoughts on the incoming Destiny?
So Destiny Udogie, aka Destiny's Child, I probably have learned more about him in the last 2 hours than I've probably heard from my own brother this week. I had never heard of the kid in my life. I know there's a couple Italian Spurs fans or Serie A familiar Spurs fans on the timeline that have been saying his quality. Again, I had absolutely zero idea apart from... The only thing I knew straight away was that he was Nigerian, just from his surname. That was literally it. But yeah, did a bit of reading around. And he was actually on the Italian football podcast hosted by Carlo Gagagnese. And I had a full-on interview with him and he sounds like he's got his head switched on. So just a little bit on him. Obviously, like I said, Nigerian heritage, but born and raised in Italy. Played Italy youth team under 16, 17, and I'm pretty sure 18 and 21. Obviously left wing back, but he can play left back. And weirdly, he's actually played centre mid, attacking centre mid for Italian youth teams going forward, but he prefers left wing back. They asked him what his main strengths were. He said he loves attacking, loves getting forward, loves getting into the box. And obviously, I think he got like 5 goals and 3 assists last year from a full season. Kid's quick as well. Kid's very, very quick. And I feel like there's a couple of things they asked him which sort of, I feel like when you ask players these kind of questions, it's kind of important just for their view on football. So he idolises Marcelo. And obviously, you know, he's in conversation with Ashley Cole as the best left back of all time. So that's a good, it's good to sign somebody who wants to play like that. When he said who his favourite player growing up was, it made me, I don't really feel old. You know, I've got the skincare down, hairline's intact. You know, I feel a lot younger than I am. But when Destiny Udogie said he supports Milan because he saw Ronaldinho play for them, I said, oh my God. We're at a point where children are associating R10 with Milan, not Barca, which was a little bit scary. But he's a Milan fan. And also, interestingly, he's the only Italian teenager in Serie A who's got consistent starting minutes throughout the whole of Serie A this year. I'm not privy to this particular conversation, but on the pod they were saying that, you know, it's an ongoing conversation. Not enough Italian youth are getting minutes and he seems to be the only one. Just the chat around him seems to be he's literally the next big thing. He's going to be the new face of, like, young Italian football. That's the word on the curb, you know what I'm saying? So I'm buzzing that we've got in there. Paratici wanted him when he was at Juve, or when Paratici was at Juve and Destiny was at Verona. I think that's the club he was at. So, you know, it looks really positive. And then on the flip side, he doesn't like going out much. You know, I'm sure Uncle is telling him to stay at home, read book. Yao, I'm sure you'll be pleased with that kind of behavior from someone of Nigerian heritage. You know, I'm blue. If you know, you know. He doesn't like playing FIFA. He says the new like gameplay of FIFA is pretty shit. So he doesn't like it. He prefers 2K. And he thinks Messi's better than Ronaldo. So
hey! Sometimes you need to draw the line on something. Yeah, but everything else, I appreciate it. This kid sounds like he
sounds quality.
And you know, we've had problems in the past with kids that don't respect their father. Bama Denley, I'm talking to you, and I'm also talking to you, Barkley. So yeah, out so you can get your careers back on track. But I like what I'm hearing about this kid. Destiny's Child, indeed.
Can we just put on the record that last week, Yao promised that he was not going to mention Bamidele and his issues with his father. And it's taken 9 minutes for that promise to be broken.
Yeah,
you can't say anything because we told you this was going
to
happen.
Some promises have to be broken. I want the best for the kid. Yeah,
right.
I'm sure Jacob, Tops, and Ohio want the same. I want the best for the kid. Yeah, I'm trying to help him achieve the heights in life. Say sorry to your father, you make it to the top. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I saw a video of Dele Alli the other day dancing in the change room, mate. I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, so Tops, I'm coming to you. We've also been linked with Zaniolo. Didn't really impress me in the Roma fixture last week. The only time he got in a highlight was because he got slide tackled by Romero. But hey, so many people get slide tackled by Romero during the club. So, Tops, what's your thoughts? You're a doctor. This kid's had two ACLs. I don't know if he's got any knees left. And it seems like the Paratici machine is in full effect trying to steal him off Jose Mourinho. What's your thoughts real quick?
Firstly, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we've gone back and forth on this issue about this kind of player. I feel like, you know, it looks like it's probably going to be Zaniolo. Like, in terms of his profile as a player, like, I very much look at him as like not. When I look at him, I look at like his game, and I think there's not anything that's specifically amazing about his game. I think like he's a good dribbler. It looks like he can score goals. Sometimes he looks like he's like he can create, but he doesn't seem like that much of a specialist. One thing I do like about him is that he does seem to carry the ball well, which is kind of something that we need, or we kind of need to replace in Lo Celso. For the price. And also just because of his health, it's not something that I'm like particularly keen on. But if it's something that Conte is like huge for, then gents. If it's something that Conte is like huge for, then I'm all for it. But at this point, it looks like we are going for him, so I'm just gonna have to accept it for what it is at this point.
Yeah, it does. It does look like, you know, things are in motion. I know we spoke a lot about Zaniolo and like some Madison in recent weeks. Let's see what happens. Like I said, it's that point in the window where everyone knows going to start being played. Going to see first 11, going to see who's on the bench, who's playing, who's not. And I think there's going to be a lot of movement across the leagues. Yeah, final thing on a general Spurs point. What's your thoughts on the quote-unquote struggle to shift players? Again, I think this may change as the games start playing and teams realise that they have a massive Lo Celso hole that they need to fill. Pause. What's your thoughts on that, Yao?
Honestly, I don't think we should really be worrying about shifting players. I think especially the players we want to get rid of, they will either go towards the back end of this summer transfer window or they'll go in January, you know, one way or another. Look, there is a World Cup literally round the corner, not next year, round the corner of this year. So if players want to try and put their name in the hat, put their name in the mix, they have to get regular games. So, you know, that goes for, you know, players like Winks. He needs to bounce. He needs to bounce for the sake of us. You know, we don't need to see him no more, but he needs to bounce if he wants to put his name in the hat. I think other players, it's a bit tricky. I don't think we're going to be able to shift the likes of Davinson Sanchez, but Lo Celso is another one who, even though he gets regularly picked for Argentina, I think he needs regular games to secure his position. So he will probably force a move out because he knows he's not wanted. And Ndombele, I think Ndombele is probably the hardest one to shift because I don't think there's any urgency from him or his camp to get regular football. And it's a shame, you know, because, you know, he let himself down. He let Nas down. He let a lot of people down, you know, and we're still trying to understand how somebody of such talent can give us a 2 out of 10 album. It's just poor. The collection of content that he's given to us is stinks. So I'd like to see the end of Winks, because there's no way a player of his caliber should be wearing the number 8 shirt. He should be wearing at the very least 900 on the back of his shirt, because that's where he is in the rankings. And that's all I'll say on Winks, aka non-Harry.
For now. thanks, guys. That's a nice little wrap-up of the kind of week so far. Like I said, we will see movement. That's the third time I've said that. Hopefully, we'll see stuff start to happen. Jacob, we're going to bring you in here now. We're going to start talking, looking ahead to Southampton. Obviously, Southampton, maybe, you know, they don't have the same kind of spending powers as top teams, whatever. But they are a kind of, you know, a certified Premier League team. Okay, and they've had their struggles. They flirted with a few moments, both at both ends of the table. But you know, they are a reputable team. Just want to get your thoughts on a few players. So we were talking just before we came on about Romeo Lavia, that you've got one of the City's academy talents. I think he's a Belgian player. What's your thoughts on him? Has he played in the preseason? Does it look like, where's he fit in for you guys? What's your thoughts?
It's really exciting, to be honest, you mate, because I think it's the first time in nearly a decade that Southampton have actually had money to spend in the summer. And I know for you, you might not understand this, but for the last 5-6 years, Southampton have had to sell to buy players. The owner's not put £1, or the old owner has not put £1 into the transfer kitty at all. Which
we understand that one. We do understand that.
Yeah, no, I guess. Carry on. But to a lesser extent, like, for example, we wanted Kyle Walker-Peters for so long, and we could only do it when Pierre Højbjerg, which I'm sure we'll come on to, went the other way. So with Romeo Lavia, to spend £14 million on a player that's not played in the Premier League, and to him to be the number one target, because there's other targets that have played, you know, there's one target that played 120 games in the Bundesliga, and they decided to turn him down and go for Romeo Lavia. I think he was bossing it in Premier League 2 last year, so good in it, and he's played in every single preseason game, and he's actually it looks like he's going to be replacing Oriol Romeu, who's been in midfield for God knows how long, alongside James Ward-Prowse. So I think he's a player that you guys need to keep an eye on as well, because he looks a real player at 18 years old.
Nice. You also went for Delap. It looks like you're just cradle snatchers. It's quite interesting, because for so long Southampton were the ones producing the players that everyone else steals at a young age. You know, you think about Walcott, you think about Bell, Lallana. Even Mane came from you guys, didn't he? you know, is this a new shift for you guys? Is this, are you looking at, yes, you may have money to spend, but you want to spend it wisely. You want to make sure you get talents that maybe you can grow for 2 to 3, 3 to 5 years and then sell them on. Is that kind of the talk around the club?
That's the plan. I think Southampton have just brought in a new head of recruitment from Man City. He's only 35, and he was the one that, you know, unearthed Jadon Sancho, Michael Olise. He's worked with Phil Foden, Cole Palmer, so he knows Man City's academy like you wouldn't believe. So that's why, you know, Romeo Lavia comes in, Liam Delap, they wanted. And he's got really good networks across all the top, you know, English clubs, you know, Tottenham, Chelsea, Man City. And that's the USP now for Southampton moving forward. They want to poach the best young players. You saw Tino Livramento last year, came in for 5 million, and he's worth probably 10 times that when he does go. So I think that's the model. And it's a risky one, because I think, you know, the average age is going to be about 23 next year. It's ridiculous. But if it works, the potential is massive, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, clubs at you know, in across the league have done that whole kind of rebuild from the kind of having a younger team. Not too long ago, Spurs had, you know, one of the youngest teams in the league, and did relatively well with that team. And if you can get them all in and get them all playing well, then I'm sure you guys will be fine. Tops, I'm going to come to you quickly about Joe Alibo, our Nigerian brother who's at the Saints. He's just popped in from Rangers. He went viral with stunning, but some of the defending was pretty poor, if we're honest. But yeah, he scored a really good goal. Amazing run, good finish. Have you watched him maybe coming up through the ranks for Nigeria? I don't know if he's played many international games or if he's in around the squad. Should we be scared if he's going up against Davinson Sanchez at the weekend?
Yeah, like I've actually had a bit of an interest in his career, because a couple of my friends, they work for a company that represents Joe Ariba. So they followed him all the way pretty much through when he was at Staines, down through to Charlton, and then obviously when he got his move to Rangers, and obviously it was only until last year that he actually decided to take up his international calling and come to play for Nigeria, to be honest with you. Every time I've always spoken to like my friends about him, they've always said that, you know, this guy's going places. And I mean, his career has kind of started on the latter sort of side, a bit on the later side, and he's kind of come up to a point because I think now he's at 25 or 26, and he really only started playing professionally since what would be like 2014, I think, when he was at Staines. So, like, if I'm honest with you, I'm like absolutely stoked for him. I really do feel that like Southampton have made a really good signing. Ariba, I really like a lot of his attributes. He's tall, he's physical, he's quite creative. He pops up with a goal. He popped up with some really impressive goals and really impressive performances last season for Rangers. So to be honest with you, and also even his performances in the African Cup of Nations for Nigeria when he kind of played an advanced sort of 10 sort of role. I was honestly really impressed with everything that he kind of brought. So actually, like, the opportunity for him to finally make a step up in the Premier League after like what would be a couple of good seasons at Rangers is a really good one. Obviously, like, you know, my interest is always going to be invested because he's obviously Nigerian as well. But hopefully his good performances don't start this Saturday.
Hey, yeah. Jacob, you've got to be careful, man. Tops was coming for your job, cuz. Like...
Yeah, he broke that down fully.
I was going to say, you know more about him than I do. You can write an article about him afterwards if you want to.
Hey, I need my 10%, y'all. I need my 10%. Yo, hey, I'll give you your 2% for your DM work. But yeah, perfect. No, that's a nice breakdown. It'll be exciting to see how he progresses. And as ever, you know, from our perspective, we hope he has a bad game on Saturday. You mentioned it earlier, Jacob, and I'm going to come to you before letting Yao loose, because it's very well documented, Yao's views on the player you mentioned earlier, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, otherwise known as Hoisin Sauce, in the group chat. What's your thoughts on the swap deal? You know, who got the better deal here? Kyle Walker-Peters, who, you know, looks like he's coming into his own a bit. I'll be honest, I wasn't the biggest fan of him when he was at Spurs. Played an absolutely horrible game against Colchester in the FA Cup, at which point I was like, I'm done with this guy. Get him out of the club. Obviously, he moves to Southampton. Looks like he's doing well on both flanks, even with competition from, you know, players coming in from, you know, Chelsea or whatever. What's your thoughts on one, Højbjerg when he was at St. Mary's, and then, you know, maybe this swap deal? Who got the better deal, do you reckon?
I think it's quite obvious that Southampton got the better deal. Højbjerg had 1 year left on his contract. That last season, I've got to be honest with you, he wasn't as good as he was the year before. And I think James Ward-Prowse was outperforming in basically every other aspect. So he was, you know, replaceable. I think towards the end of that season, Aurel Meyer replaced him. So to get 15 million, I think it was, or something like that, for a player that wanted to leave, wasn't going to sign a new contract, and to get Kyle Walker-Peters, who had already been on loan at Southampton, who was sensational, for 12 million, so you know, you're getting Walker-Peters plus 3 million for Højbjerg. I just thought that was a fantastic deal and fantastic from Southampton to negotiate like that. And, you know, I saw Walker-Peters at Tottenham. I thought he was okay. He's unbelievable. Genuinely, I think you need to take him to the World Cup because he's probably better off the left because his crossing's never been great, but he's dribbling. He is Southampton's most dangerous attacking outlet. I see you nodding your head. I haven't seen a right back as good as him at Southampton probably in my lifetime. I think he's fantastic, and it'd be such a shame to lose him. And, you know, David Ornstein reported that you guys have got 30 million release clause. So the fact that you signed Jed Spence instead was a huge sigh of relief, and just hope that Southampton can keep hold of him.
Oh, don't worry, we can make space. Emerson Royal, Matthew Doherty, these players are expendable. Don't worry about us. Yeah, I did promise I was going to come to you, and we can see that you are bursting at the seams to speak on this topic. I believe personally, and you may want to contradict, but I think you're going to agree that what Jacob just said there was music to your ears. has this brought some sense of confirmation to your life and your agenda regarding Hoisin?
Listen, yeah, Let me say this to you right now. In life, there are people that fake it to make it. You know, there are people that are genuine, and there are people that I like to call the 100% fraudsters. Part of West Africa will call them 419ers, but that's for another day and another time. I warned you guys about this, Pierre. I am not a Aubameyang hoisin sauce guy. I told you. I said this guy is a fraudster. But you know what? I'll be honest. Sometimes when you're watching players on TV, you know, you pick up on things, you see the game a bit different. But when you go into the stadium, there's no hiding. You see it in 4K. And I saw it in 4K. I knew that day then, when I saw Højbjerg stink up the whole stadium, I knew that this guy is bad for our arteries. He's bad. He's bad sauce. And that was the day that I realized he needs to come down from the stairs, exit stage left of our stadium, and never return. Sadly, Jacob has obviously confirmed that Southampton won't be taking him back. That's what I was hoping would be some of Jacob's lingo. But clearly, he's seen what I've seen. And you guys just don't want to admit it. I'm glad I finally can see that we have been shafted by the footballing gods. And I'm not happy. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not happy. I think Jacob, because he's got links to, you know, Southampton, I believe he needs to talk to the chairman that doesn't spend a penny. That we are happy to offer Højbjerg with return with 15 million. I'm even happy to put money in just to bring Kyle Walker-Peters back. And I don't even think Kyle Walker-Peters will start. But Højbjerg, oh my goodness. This, oh Jesus. I don't even know where to start. For me, the thing that annoys me the most and about him, he talks a good game. He really does. He runs around a lot. But for the love of God, the conviction in some of the things, and he runs like a headless chicken. It's hilarious that we've gone on board Bissouma, who absolutely dunked on this guy on all times that he's met him. Yeah. Smashed him up. So if it's up to me, transfer window ends September 1st, if I'm correct. I know that, you know, Højbjerg has some of his, don't ask me how, but I know some of his people listen to our podcast, you know, but they can't admit it. So you can tell your friend, Pierre, please leave. Leave my club. Yeah. Go Newcastle. Go there. Yeah. They'll love you up there. Fog on the tine and everything. They will love you. Yeah. Just go up there. Just leave us alone, please.
Oh my life. The weekly Yao piece on Højsen. Just a quick question, Jacob, before we look at the game in more detail. Here from Asa, who's our American general kind of, you know, Spurs fan who loves to jump in on the pod. KWP, JWP, who is the next great WP at Southampton?
There's no WP as of yet, but I'm sure there's got to be one soon. I think it only happens when James Ward-Prowse leaves and then a new WP will come in. I think that's the rule.
Can only have two at a time, I see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a quick note on Højbjerg. It was Jose Mourinho who wanted him, and we know how Yao loves Jose Mourinho.
That's a lie.
No, it's fine.
It's a club buy. We're not going down that road. It's a club buy. Yeah, just like Conte got saddled with Spence and said, I didn't really want him, but I will take him. Yeah, that's how Jose felt when he got given Højsen. Yeah, he said, I didn't really want him, but I'll take him. And he got the best out of him, like he got the best out of Ndombele. Yeah, but listen, sometimes we just have to be honest with ourselves. Yeah, we've been shafted. And Jacob's come on here to tell us the truth that we've been shafted. Yeah, Jacob, I adore the fact that you came on here and told the truth. Because these men thought you were going to come in here and tell a lie. You're honourable man.
David, I've got a quick question. I've got a quick question for Jacob, if that's all right. Cool. So, James Ward-Prowse, if I search JWP or Ward-Prowse in the NSO group chat, I'll get like 73 searches, right? Because, you know, we'll be real. None of us watch Southampton enough to make like a proper call or award prowls. And I don't think it's fair to judge players we don't see every week on just England games. Like I know, Declan Rice, for example, I know Declan Rice is better than the Declan Rice that I see when he plays for England. You know, probably Calvin Phillips, maybe a little bit. Fucking, I forgot Calvin Phillips went to City. Jesus. Anyway, James, what are the James Ward pros and cons? Like, what is, you like that one, innit? You like that one? Yeah. What, like, besides being an absolute whips cross from pieces, what is he actually good at? Because people are like, he's just winks with a free kick. And I'm like, no, nah, like, I feel like we're doing, no, it wasn't me. I'm not the one that said it. But I'm like, I want to give this guy some due diligence. So can you please tell the listeners, what is James Ward-Prowse good at that doesn't, when the ball's moving?
This is the biggest issue that I find with other fans about James Ward-Prowse, and to some extent, Kyle Walker-Peters. I think he's obviously fantastic at free kicks, but it takes away from everything else he does. Okay, yeah, he's good at free kicks, and I know everyone loves to talk about it, but you've got to realise that he's only 27 years of age, and he is the guy that Slamton looked to. He's up there with Matt Letizia. I know Matt Letizia is not the figure that some people think he is now, but at the time, he was a legend, and he is too, and James Ward-Prowse is in that path. In open play, you know, everyone likes to typecast a number 6, a number 8, a number 10. He does it all. He scores. He was contributing about 17 points to Southampton last season through free kicks, open play goals, penalties, obviously, most assists, most tackles, most pressures. He does everything. He sets a tone with his press. He's probably the only centre midfielder that plays forwards. He gets into the box, and he plays every game. I think 2 years ago, during the COVID lockdown season, where you have games every 2 days, he played every single minute of the season. He's an absolute machine. And I'll be honest with you, I think when he first came into the team, I didn't feel he was that good. I thought he was hiding a little bit. And since Ralph Hasenhüttl's come in, them two, you know, the aggression that James Ward-Prowse has got, he's a secret shithouse. I was so shocked that he just didn't get into the Euro score, because you're looking at New Italy game when Southgate decided to park the bus after going 1-0 up. Bring on Jack Grealish to win a free kick and just let Ward-Prowse take it, because I don't think there's much between him and Calvin Phillips, and Ward-Prowse offers you a better goal threat as well. So, yeah, so there's a lot more than free kicks that meets the eye, for sure.
Nice. I personally don't like him. He always scores against us. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Like, he'll be on a barren run, and then he just gets a free kick, and you know what's happening. I think there was a game we won 1-0 against us maybe two seasons ago. Dead game, absolutely dead game. James Ward-Prowse free kick, top corner, here we go. So looking ahead to the game at the weekend, 3 o'clock Saturday at the Lane. We haven't had a 3 o'clock game on a Saturday for like years, apparently. Like, this is a real random stat. Spurs and Southampton. Like I said earlier, Southampton are a reputable team. In the league, they've kind of established themselves over the years. We played each other 46 times in the Prem. Some facts for you guys. I had my researchers do some work earlier. Spurs have won 24 of those games. We've drawn 8 and lost 14. However, in the last 4 games, Spurs won the first 2, and then we had a draw and a loss last year. It's one of them weird games where, apart from the 1-0 that I mentioned just now, it seems to be quite high scoring, averaging 4 goals a game. That could be just a commentary on both teams' defences. And we'll get onto that about certain high-scoring games involving Southampton a little bit later. But yeah, it's very interesting, averaging about 4 goals a game. Southampton obviously got the 4 points off us last year. They always seem to play us at those key moments, having a bit of momentum, and then we've got Southampton. And it's one of them, you know, quite tricky games that we have to navigate, and let's be honest, over the past few seasons, we haven't always done that. So, Jacob, talk to me. You've got these new players in. Some players maybe have left, whatever. What do you see as your starting lineup, and how, you know, judging on maybe pre-season, how do you think Ralph is going to set his team to go up away against Conte and his players?
I think the away game last season, everyone sees that. I think the hierarchy see it as the Ralph Hasenhüttl's best performance as a manager at Southampton, the 3-2 win. I think they were fantastic. And then after that, they only won one of the next 12 games. So that was the best, that was as good as it got, really, for Southampton. But if you remember the reverse fixture at St Mary's before Salisu got sent off, Southampton were giving you guys all sorts of problems playing a back three. And hell, the back three, exactly. And him matching Conte's system was working really, really well. And I think that's what he's going to do on Saturday. He's ditched his 4-2-2-2, as he likes to say, this pre-season, because he's fed up conceding lots of goals, you know, 2-9-0 defeats. And he's decided to go through a 3-5-2. And he's used that throughout pre-season, and that's what he's going to use for the opening day. And I'm sure a lot of the new signings will be featuring as well in that.
Cool. Hi, I'm going to come to you. We've heard a bit from Conte today about, you know, different injuries. Unfortunately, Skip looks like he may be out for a number of weeks. Basuma and is it Perisic, and they've got a late fitness test kind of situation, you know, the football manager type emails tomorrow. Let's see how they pull through that. Hopefully they are ready to go. who do you start with, Ohio, on Saturday, 3 o'clock, first game of the season?
I would start Spence at right wing back regardless, but I am very confident Conte won't do that. And I'm not going to be one of those guys, there's going to be people on the timeline, why did you spend 20 million on him if he's not going to start at home in Southampton? Look, he's never played Prem. Not only that, he's never had a coach like Conte. There's going to be certain demands Spence isn't going to have in his locker just yet, which is fine, you know, and hopefully that'll come with time. Perisic, I'd rather not rush him. I don't know the extent of his injury, but I know he was rehabbing it quite a bit. So I would, even if he's past fit, quote unquote, I'd rather him come off the bench in that game if we can, you know, give us an extra kick in the second half. And hopefully he'll be fit enough to start against Chelsea, who I believe we've got second. So I cannot believe I'm going to say this, because Doherty's not fit either as well. Doherty's got a late fitness test as well. So I cannot believe I'm going to say this out loud. And this is kind of through lack of option. I am going to go with Sessegnon at left back, left wing back. Yao, you'll love that one. And I'm not entirely opposed to starting Lucas at right wing back Saturday. You know, I'm not, just this one game. This one game, I'm not against, I don't think he's very good at it. But, you know, I feel like just, you know, new season, he'll be like, oh yeah, manager, trust me. You know how Lucas has that one or two moments in him? I feel like if we can get those moments in the first half, shut it down, and then get Emerson on later on, I wouldn't be opposed to it. So I'm not. I mean, but this is a literal beggars can't be choosers conversation for wingbacks. So to answer your question finitely, I'm going to say Sessegnon and Lucas because I kind of have to.
Cool. And midfield? Did you say midfield?
Midfield, Basuma is another late test. I feel, even though we were cussing Højbjerg earlier, I feel like I'll be fine with starting Højbjerg and Benten in the middle with Basuma coming on for Højbjerg. I think Højbjerg will try to rise it. Whether he'll rise it well or not is a completely different conversation. So that'll be my two. Defence, obviously standard Romero, Dier, whoever's fit out of the left centre backs. I feel like this would be Jacob. Is Nathan Redmond still likely to start on the right wing?
No, he's not really part of the plans at the moment. No,
is he not? Who's your right wing? Who's your right winger these days? Or right wing back?
Right wing back will be Kyle Walker Peters. It looks like
Walker Peters. Because I think this would be the kind of game where it would be good to see what Longley's actually like defensively. So I'd say Longley, Dier, Romero, Lucas, Sessegnon, Højbjerg, Benten, and then KSK up top. Kane, Son, Kulu for me.
KSK.
Nice.
Hopefully, and you know, shout out to Sai, cast member who's in the chat. Sanchez, left side of the back three, the stuff of nightmares. I agree with you, Sai. Personally, I never want to see Disco Dave play for us again. I get nightmares every single time I see him in. It's like PTSD. There's a lot of triggers there when I see him in the lineup. Tops, just maybe thinking back to those games last season. I know Jacob mentioned that 1-1 game before Salisu got sent off. They were popping us. They were popping us like crazy. Todd, what do we have to do in this game? What is it? I feel like Southampton one of these teams that if we score early, we're going to win the game. The longer it goes, gets to 70 minutes, 80 minutes, their team, like a Brighton, you know, who can maybe nick a goal here and there and keep us at bay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a funny game, because I went to the 3-2 at home, and that was such a frustrating match because I felt like they came to Spurs with a really good game plan. They were very well set up. I kind of felt like it was a bit measured. It was 1-1 to start with. They got a set piece. We scored soon after. And then we started the second half actually quite well. Sun scored late in the second half. And I kind of felt like, okay, we can now finish the game off. But Ward-Prowse has got fantastic delivery. That sort of right-hand channel. Bit of suspect defending as well. We pretty much conceded two of the same goals in the end. And I think I remember Bergwijn missing an absolute sitter right at the end as well. That day, I was really impressed with how they set up. They gave us very little space. They pressed us very high. And they caused a lot of problems when they attacked. So I feel like it's going to be super important that our fullbacks, our wingbacks, give us an option. It's going to be super important that we use the automation like quite well to get ourselves out of the press in our sort of defence. And I think we just need to be extremely clinical. The one good thing I think we've been good at in the preseason is that we've been able to create lots of chances. And we've got such players who are so clinical. So hopefully Kane, Son, Kulu can give themselves a bit of a chance. I don't really disagree with a lot of what you guys have said in terms of starting lineup. I don't really want to see Højbjerg, but it looks like he's probably going to start. I would love to see Spence, but I don't see him starting, and I just don't see any faith being given to players like Reguilón or Emerson or Doherty. So if Moura starts, then yeah, sure.
Jacob, I just want to touch on this. Who's in goal for you guys? And obviously we stole Fraser from you guys. So you actually played, I don't know how much games Foster was actually playing last year. Like we said, like, I didn't really watch much in Southampton. But who's in goal for you guys? Is that a problem, issue?
I wouldn't say stolen. I just think Southampton decided not to give him a new contract because he's one of the highest earners. It seemed between Alex McCarthy, obviously being there for a little while, and the new signing, Ireland's number one, very highly rated from Man City, Gavin Bazunu, who Man City have got a buyback clause on for 45 million, so you can kind of guess, you know, what they think of him. It looks, I get the feeling it's going to be Gavin Bazunu. He's 20 years old, so another young lad at the back. And yeah, McCarthy will be on the bench, and I like to think that Bazunu's probably more suited to the way Southampton play in terms of he can sweep, he can come off his line. He's more of the modern day keeper than Forster, who, despite being 6'6", a lot of Southampton fans would scream and shout him for not coming off his line at all to catch your sweep.
Well, we hope you sorted that out. We've had our fair share of set piece calamities. I think let's go big picture and then we'll go back to the game and get our score predictions going around. Big picture, Jacob, Southampton, what's a good season for you? What do you see as progress? What's the club said? What's the fans saying? Talk to us about that.
I think it's obviously safety is the foremost priority, but then you think that Southampton just want to find a bit of consistency because, as I said to you, that they beat Tottenham, they look fantastic away to Spurs, and then the next 12 games, they pick up 3 points or whatever. And it's just such fluctuations in form. There's never any consistency. It's either fantastic, they're towards the top of the league, or they're one of the worst teams in it. So a little bit more consistency, just being a bit more steady. I think if they can consolidate themselves in the mid-table positions, especially with such a young group as well, I think that will be a successful season.
Nice, nice. What do you see from a team like Southampton? Do you see them as a top 10 type team, like in the top half of the table? Do you, the outside looking in, or are they just a team to kind of prop up the numbers, respectfully?
I think Southampton are a bit in a bit of a transitional period.
this whole having to sell to Bayern, they've done well this summer in terms of like their transfers.
They're not having to sell to Bayern anymore. They've got new owners, but previously,
So with the new owners, I think they could push for top 10. But I don't think it will be. I don't think this is the season in which it will be. How should I say, there or thereabouts? I think they will more likely finish around, sadly, 11th. But I think they'll be closer in that run for top 10. But the points difference shouldn't be that big. I mean, Aribo is a. I watched him a few games before him at Rangers, and I watched the Europa League final, and he looked like a real danger man. So, I think Southampton could do a little bit. I think they'll be in the mix with the likes of Newcastle for that top 10 spot, because Newcastle have obviously recruited a few. But regardless of all of that, I need Southampton to come down to Wyatt Lane and lose 6-0. You know, just do the correct thing so that we can get it cracking.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to ask one person from both sides, obviously Jacob Yellen and one from the Saints side. Three players to look out for on Saturday from Southampton. You know, if we were going to take three players to Conte tomorrow and say these are the three that Tanswell says we should watch out for, who would be those three players for you?
I think, like anything, it's always going to be two double barrel geniuses in James Ward-Prowse and Kyle Walker-Peters. Those two are probably the only two that have any consistency in their performances. So instantly those two. And then, like you guys say, Joe Aribo, he's been Southampton's best attacking player in pre-season. He looks like he might even start up front. I think he's played in midfield a few times in pre-season, but he's always looked better when he's partnering someone up top. And he obviously got his goal against Villarreal up front. So I think he would be really dangerous, especially on the break as well, because Southampton aren't pressing quite as much as they used to, and they won't press as much as they did when they went to White Hart Lane last year or last season. They've just tapered it a little bit, and they're trying to catch teams on the break. So I think Aribo would be quite useful in that respect.
What would be your three players if you know, if Jacob was going to bump into Ralph tomorrow at a local Starbucks? What three players would you take? Would you say would be to watch out for?
Three Southampton players or what?
Spurs players.
I think as much as, you know, being a Nigerian, I want Joe Aribo to have a good season, but don't come around the block when CR17 is around. You know, watch your ankles, because Romero's coming. Okay, Romero's coming. That's number one. I'd say the only reason I'm not saying Bissouma at the moment is because I don't think he'll start personally. And, you know, I'm trying to pick people outside of our absolute killers up top. I feel like I've got a feeling about this Lavia kid. I think he will be someone to watch, but, you know, he might get a bit of a lesson in close control from Benten in midfield. I feel like Benten Core could start us off really, really well. I think there were a few, he had some, even though it's with respect, Jacob, even though it's Southampton, like, it still does count as a big game because it's the first game. It's a big transitional season. So I think Benten's going to have to step up quite a lot on Saturday. So I'd say Romero, say Benten, and Kulusevski. I just love Kulusevski. Like, I think he's got, I don't really like using the term, oh, he's got a, I feel like saying someone's got a high ceiling or a low floor or whatever is the thing to say these days. But I think Kulusevski, this is going to be another big season. I mean, he's just going to keep improving. So I think a lot of attention is going to be on Kane naturally. You know, wouldn't surprise me if somebody's just going to be asked to sit on Kane and reduce the service to Son. But, and, you know, with all the chat about us being in the market for some kind of creative forward or creative midfielder, you know, I think people forgetting a bit the kind of creative qualities Kulusevski possesses. So, yeah, CR17, Benten and Kulu on the right, I think will be serious ones to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not forget that, we do have killers up top. Kane got four assists in one game against Southampton. I'm sure Jacob remembers that well. Was it in one half? I think he got all of them in one half, maybe. Yeah, it was a good game to watch. So let's get the score predictions for the game. I'll go around top, so I'll start with you. What do you think, you know, how do you see this one going? Score prediction, please.
3-0.
To
Spurs.
Oh, okay, just checking. 3-0 Spurs. Yao.
Ah, I don't know. 9-0. No, I'm joking. I think it's gonna be. I don't think it'll be an open game, but I think there'll be chances created. I'm gonna say 2-1 Spurs.
I'm actually gonna go for 1-0. I would have leaned towards 2. It's not that I'm not worried about Southampton scoring. I think they've got potential. I think, and forgive me if I'm wrong, the lack of grabbing an actual out and out 9 to replace Broya is not doing them any favours at the moment. And obviously he was an absolute menace in that 3-2 loss. Like, if you're that good that you make me worried about Che Adams, then, you know, there's something about you. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think it's going to be 1-0. I think it'll be a good 1-0 though.
Okay, cool. Jacob, I'll give you a chance to redeem yourself. defend your honour. I know you're outnumbered here, but what do you think? What's your views on the game?
I agree with your point. Southampton are in desperate need of getting a goal scorer number 9, and they're really working hard and trying to find one. Because obviously, although Bro tailed off completely after that Spurs game, he didn't score again. He was quite key in the way Southampton played. And the year before that, Danny Ings as well, he was, you know, outrageous. He scored 22 Premier League goals or something that season. So they are missing someone. I feel that could be their undoing, especially against Spurs, because I don't think they'll get too many chances. I was quite confident early in the week. I thought 1-1. Now I'm actually thinking about it logically. I'm going for a 2-0 home win.
Oh, okay, 2-0. I think it'll be 3-1, personally. I do think Southampton will score. I don't think we've looked as solid in certain areas. And I think the set-piece coaching hasn't quite kicked in, especially if we've got Sanchez on the pitch. Jacob, just wait one there, because you mentioned something there which is very, very interesting. You mentioned how you don't have a number 9. Could that be, my friend, because the number 9 at St. Mary's, just that number itself, incur some sort of PTSD nightmares? Yes, Jacob, I am talking about the 9-0 repeat scoreline that has been experienced by your club. And actually, we here at the NSO, we believe in equality. We believe that everyone should share in misery. And seeing that we have gone through enough misery, we would like to give you the floor to explain to the football world St. Mary's post 9-0 times 2. Hassan 9-0,
yes.
That's what we call it.
Yes.
Please,
all I will say is that both of them are extremely flawed, okay? Because the first one, Ryan Bertrand was sent off within 3 minutes, okay? Then chaos just transpired and everything just fell away. But, you know, it can happen once. It can happen to any team. And it's a bit disappointing because Southampton beat Sunderland 8-0 about 3 years before that. So they had the record as well. And then obviously James Vardy scored at the end. And I was so disappointed it had to be 9-0 because I didn't want anyone breaking the record.
Oh, I think we might have lost Jacob there.
I think Hasselhoeven cut off his connection.
Only appearance for Southampton. Got after Alex Jankovic in his one only appearance for Southampton, got sent off at Old Trafford 42 seconds into the game. So again, Southampton reduced to 10 men. And you ought to realise Southampton had about 10, 13 players injured. They were playing young boys that didn't even play for the second team. They were playing for the under-18s. And Mike Dean decided to disallow 2 goals, so it could have been 9-2, and give 2 extremely harsh penalties that I think he did a referee another Southampton game after that. So I think the 9-0, the second one, just stung a lot more because I remember waking up the next day thinking, oh my gosh, it's happened again. And it was just shocking, to be honest with you.
I just want to know, how do you, as a professional, in your capacity, how do you even approach an article about it, especially as a fan? I don't know if you were at the time or wherever you were, whoever you're working with, how do you even put into words, like you said, the morning after the 9-0 threshing?
The first one, as I said, it was okay because you thought, okay, it's not going to happen again. Second one was just, oh my gosh, because Southampton had about 6 players available. They were lost the last 10 in a row or whatever it was. And the fact that Southampton were trying to time waste when it went to 8-0 just to stop it going from 9-0 told you everything. I think Stuart Armstrong got booked for not taking the restart after it went to 8-0. They were so desperate not to concede. And Manchester United had 30 seconds to score another goal, and they did it. And if Mike Dean didn't blow early, they probably would have got a 10th. So it was dark. And the next morning, I don't think anyone, I think even Southampton's report didn't make any excuses either. It was terrible. And let's just hope there's not another hammering this season, because last year Chelsea went 6-0 up after 60 minutes and they took the foot off the gas because they had the Champions League tie against Real Madrid after that. That could have been another nine. So I just
you can't lose 9-0 almost. You can't lose 9-0 three seasons. Listen. If it gets to 5-0, Hasselhoeven has to walk out of the stadium and never come back.
Like, I think if
it
gets to five, I think you guys should just do the right thing and just don't bother scoring anymore. Just think, okay, they're already dead, and just finish it off, because this seems to happen all the time.
I'm telling you now, if it gets to 5, 6, 7, even close to 9, we are inviting you on next week.
Absolutely, don't
switch off your, don't deactivate your account. Don't go.
We will find you.
Don't break your microphone.
Bro, Jacob, if we toast them 9-0, Jacob will find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and block every single one of us.
I'll tell you, the media machine will be in full account. Thanks for that, Jacob. I mean, I know it's always tough to go down certain memory lanes. But yeah, guys, here we are. The season starts, a season that bodes well. Hopefully, there's a lot of promise, a lot of we can realise some of our goals, establishing ourselves in the top four, maybe, well, hopefully picking up some silverware. Like Yao says, I want to see armpits, okay? We want to see silverware being hoisted. We want to see armpits. We want to see Hugo Lloris having a drink legally as he's celebrating some sort of success. Guys, it's been great to have you on. I think we have covered everything there. Ohio, tell me if I haven't, because you are the agenda man as it is.
No, I'm pretty sure we've got everything, my dog. We've got everything still. Yes,
cool, yeah,
we've done conditions, all good.
Yeah, Jacob, it's been a pleasure having you on. Guys, whether you are a Southampton fan or not, if you are signed up to The Athletic, if you do have that subscription package downloaded, make sure you check out Jacob's work, follow him on Twitter, retweet, send him love. And maybe, you know, send him a few nines so he can take it to the club as recommendations. Chox, Yao, Ohio, it's been great to have you on. For those listening, tell your auntie, tell your cousin, tell everyone that we are live and direct every single week. Make sure you follow us on socials. Make sure you get involved. I think there is talk about bringing back the Discords. So make sure you are linked into the Touchline main account, get the details about the Discord as the games are going up. Touchline, also, we have a live event coming up soon. Make sure you get your tickets for that. Be in the building to watch us watch the football and discuss all things Premier League as we go along. It's been a pleasure, guys. My name is Dave, a.k.a. Trebles, a.k.a. Don Antonio, a.k.a. Coach, and we are signing out for the week. Peace.
On debut, Tunde Ndombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.